Welcome everyone to the Predator Championship League mini press conference here ahead of the event starting next Monday, the 22nd of March. We've pulled together some of the top guys, obviously, for the event coming up, our star panel, just to get everyone all geared up and ready for our kickoff on Monday. So we're super excited here, Matchroom HQ. We're joined here by Karim Balhaj, CEO of Predator. Karim, it's a brand new partnership here with yourselves and us, obviously, at Matchroom. How's it been amongst the team, sort of getting ready for the event?
Well, everybody's been super excited. I love the format. It's very different than what's been done in pool before. That's very different from what we've been involved in. And we need, in today's environment, as we're going through a new chapter of everybody's life, we need something fun, exciting, high energy that shows the best of each player. So everybody's pumped up, looking forward to next Monday.
Something we've certainly noticed here at Matchroom, and I think it's come from the partnership particular for this event, it seems as though Predator have always been solely with, you know, based on queues, but it seems like that is expanding, sort of like a global expansion on products, really.
Yeah, to the outside world, people think about Predator as a queue company. When I'm looking at here, oh, you're a technology company, you're an innovation company. But the way I kind of reset the path of the company back in the late 90s, early 2000 was, okay, guys, let's focus on innovating in terms of beard experience. And since 1999, we've been talking about the Predator experience. And so you make better cues because you focus on the playing experience, picking Joshua's or Chris's mind, brain on, okay, how does it feel to be under pressure, under the light, and what do you need from us? How should we design the cue, the case, the glove, the chalk? What should the lighting be like, you know, like the Predator light that came out last year? So it's all about the experience, not an innovating in terms of beard experience, including play. That's why I love your format.
Well, I won't ask you too much on the format, Krim, so I know that you're super, you know the ins and outs of it. Don't worry, it's literally taken me years to try and understand this league format that we do for Snooker.
Thank you.
Nils, I'm going to come to you. Two-time World Pool Masters champion, four-time Moscone Cup MVP. Your records speak for itself. You're in Group One, which everyone is saying is the group of death. And someone like yourself with so much experience, obviously, in the sport, you must be very clued up on the format. Is this something that you're excited to play a little bit different?
Yeah, I'm really excited to play in it. First of all, because it's been so long, you know, I hardly was playing in February, hardly picked up a cue, and then you send me a text with the invitation, and I was like, "Whoa, okay, we're gonna get ready again in a few weeks," and you know, I started jumping on the table. I had to get back in stroke, and I'm playing more and more. But I really dig the format. It took me a few days to get my head around it because I thought it was seven groups of seven guys initially. So I was a little disappointed I didn't get an invite, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, then I figured out that, hey, it's only 19 players. Is that right? Yeah. And so I had to read up on it, but I really love the format, especially if you're coming out of a long stretch where you haven't been playing. You know, we get to play six matches a day. And my goal for the first group, I mean, of course, we're all a bit rusty, is to just survive that first day, you know, hopefully qualify for the semis, then anything can happen. But if you get through that group, the group of death, that's already a nice performance from any player in that group. So, and then, you know, the more you play, the more comfortable you will get. And I think the level's just going to go skyrocket, especially during those evening sessions when everybody has been playing a few matches, getting settled in, feel for the table. I mean, you're going to see some really exciting short races, I believe.
So it's clear to say that the Terminator hasn't retired from pool.
Absolutely not. You know, I mean, in the last year, we had to be creative. So I made the mental course. which is doing really well in Terminator College. And then I started the YouTube channel, but it was just a waiting game, you know, before things would finally start opening up. And then we saw that you guys came out with a new program for 2021, which was already like, wow, this is happening fast, which is great. So that gets your mind already a little bit prepped up for, things getting a little bit back to normal, which is, what we're here for, you know, to show our skills and play pool instead of only online things, and which was nice in itself. But I mean, all players are ready to come back out and compete in front of the cameras and travel, get adventure and all that stuff, the good stuff.
And to touch base a bit on the format, obviously we have the 7 groups. If you do make the winners group, it does count as ranking points towards Matchroom Pool rankings and obviously to the Moscone Cup. With such an uncertain year we have ahead of us, you know, it's such a vital point to the tournament, because you can, it must be so vital to pick up those points early on in the year, with so much uncertainty sort of coming up. And also you missed out on the Moscone Cup last year.
Yeah, true. I mean, the bonus for the points is a great thing. We have no clue what's going to happen in the next month, so it could be very, very big. Not getting selected for the Moscone was just how it is. I was first on the backup list, so I was training with the boys, and unlucky for me, everybody was healthy going there. nobody caught the virus. But no, they played really strong, and I said, we were practicing online for weeks, and you could see like everybody was just getting better and better. So hats off to the guys, they did a great job, and hats off to Matchroom, of course, for pulling it off. Having the event was already a big thing, and of course, hopefully this year we'll be back to a normal event with a couple of thousand screaming fans.
Yeah, fingers crossed. We are looking at trying to get our fans in for the Moscone Cup, but it's something we're fully focused on. I'm sure we'll all get some grey hairs in the midst of it all. Chris, I'm going to go to you. You're kind of known as like the rising star coming from the USA. You were booked as like the rookie, the underdog for the Moscone Cup, and probably fair to say again for Championship League Pool. But it seems you come into it and you rise to the challenge and you perform out there. Group one, how's it looking for you?
I'm just glad I get to play another big event. I really enjoyed the Moscone Cup. So thank you to you and Matchroom and all that for, you know, happening, and Jeremy for picking me and all that. I feel like I played well, but there's definitely some, I made a few rookie mistakes, obviously, in my first match with Kachi, and, you know, I felt like I could have done more, so I've been practicing hard, and I'm really, really excited to test myself again on the world's biggest stage, so thank you for inviting me.
Do you find that sort of underdog mentality, does it motivate you at all, or does that not even come into play?
For sure. I think I've always kind of been the underdog. I haven't had a lot of things handed to me in my life, so having to work for everything kind of helps me out as far as, you know, when it's time to get to work, I know it's time to get to work. So it's pretty awesome, and I'll be definitely looking forward to the next week.
Look, it's no secret that we've had a few withdrawals from the event from a few players. I'm personally more positive in situations like this and think a silver lining. For instance, someone like you, Chris, who maybe may not have had the opportunity to come into this event, or even events like the World Pool Masters, the World Cup of Pool that are coming up, something like Championship League Pool, where you could potentially get to the winners group, get those ranking points for Matchroom Pool, it could set you up for the future events that are coming up. I mean, obviously that's huge for you coming from USA.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, but there's at the same time, I can't, it's very important, and it's something I'm going to prepare my best for, but it's also something I can't overthink, because when you overthink, you tend to think about too much. So, you know, I just got to keep it relax and be ready for when it's time to go out there and play and just do my best.
Joshua, I'm going to come to you. Reigning US Open champion, the killer filler. I mean, you're looking at this format, you probably understand it very well. Are you literally thinking, group one, I'm going to try and smash it, get through to the winner's group, job done, sort of thing?
Well, to be honest, every system or format is easy to understand as long as you win every match. Well, that's my mindset. I'm going to try to win every match, play as best as I can, practicing hard as I can, and hoping to rise the trophy in the end.
Something that's a bit different for this event is that the shot clock won't be in operation. So is that something that might affect you because of your opponents, for instance, at the table, someone like Kachi, who probably prefers not having a shot clock, but you're super quick around the table. Whenever I've watched you at our stuff, it mesmerizes me how quick you are around that table. Could that perhaps affect you in any way, race the five?
Well, I've played so many times against someone who plays pretty slow, even when there was no shot clock. So in the end, it's just a mindset. Just waiting for your opportunity, take it, and just focus on your own game. It doesn't matter what your opponent does or what you do, and just play your game and focus.
Bit difficult for you to say because two of your other players are sort of sitting here on this Zoom, but what do you think of this group one lineup?
Well, it's great. I mean, I love to play against the best players in the world. I mean, this is the only chance to show what you can or where you are in the rankings or where you are at your level. I mean, you just messed against a player. I'm just so hyped that there's another tournament next week. So I'm just happy to play.
And just before we head to the panels, I'm just going to go through just to confirm our group one lineup for the 22nd of March. We're looking at obviously Josh Filler, Chris Robertson, Niels Fine in this Zoom right now, alongside Albin Alshan, Clenty Kachi, Chris Melling, and Kelly Fisher. I mean, what a lineup we've got. But then even coming into group two, you've got David Alcady and Fortunski. I mean, you look at each group and you look at it and think, wow, who's going to actually get relegated here? And just to sort of understand that format, each day you have the winner gets through straight to the winner's group, the loser gets relegated and goes home, and the remaining five players go to the next day with the new two players coming in. We've looked at this format each time and we go, anyone's got a chance here. And anyone could kind of top that group and get through. There could be some real upsets. What do you think, Niels, on those lineups?
Yeah, when you said spoke about the format, I'm thinking of WrestleMania from the old days. You know, everybody's getting in the ring and battle it out. I think, 1 second here. I think the same thing. I mean, it's going to be great just to play, you know, not sitting in the hotel room waiting all day for one game. You know, you get out there in the arena, three matches in the afternoon, three at night, battle it out. If you go home, you go home. You had a fair chance. You played six matches. But, I mean, it could come down, I think, a lot of groups to a few racks. I think the racks will be huge. Mm-hmm. So just even if you lose and if you get 3-4 racks in that match, it could be massive. Going down 5-1 or 5-0, that could be very costly. So, I mean, it's going to be all over the place. I think what you could see also, like in the afternoon, you could have a certain ranking, and then two matches later, it could be flip side. Like, I think it's going to go crazy. There'll be a lot of panic in the last round.
It's certainly one of those formats that keeps everyone engaged. So it's something brand new for the pool world, which we're really excited about. I'm going to head to our panelists that have joined in. Some great supporters, obviously, of the sport who are writing up on everything we're doing. So I'm going to head to Mike Pinozzo first for any questions that he has for anyone.
I've got a question for you regarding the points. In issuing points for future Masters events and for Moscone Cup particularly, in events that are invitational, how will you jockey that or adjust that so that it's not penalizing people who didn't get an invite?
Yeah, we're obviously very conscious about our Matchroom Pool world rankings because we're at a position right now where no other events are really taking place. And in order for us to kickstart it, we have to kind of start somewhere. We're very keen at Matchroom to streamline all six of our events. Either that means that players are invited or they qualify via our rankings, or they're obviously awarded those rankings towards the end. I think one thing that we've looked at, certainly Championship League Pool, is by awarding the ranking points in that winners group, we're trying to make it as fair as possible. Potentially World Pool Masters will be inviting players as well as allowing players to qualify off of the world rankings as well. So they're not complete invitational events and then awarding ranking points later on in the tournaments. Certainly events like the World Cup of Pool will be trying to bring players in off of our rankings as well. So we're trying to come away from a solely sort of invitational event for each of the Matchroom Pool events. We understand that it's not perfect for all the players, but we understand that we also need to do something to get it going. So we're just trying to keep it balanced and try and keep it as fair as possible by awarding our tiered systems as well for the different events. So we're going to try and be as fair as possible. We're hoping to get an announcement out during Championship League Pool so everyone can see how the points are awarded as well.
Okay. And the second question, this is based off something you started with snooker, and you run that several times a year, correct?
Championship League snooker?
Yeah.
So we do an annual event, Championship League Snooker. During COVID, we actually managed to do more events because there were no other events on the snooker calendar actually taking place internationally. And it's one of those formats where, like what Niels was just saying, it's match after match. It's a lot of like match practice and things like that. And it's lots of hours on TV, which during the pandemic is, and very much so at the beginning, is what broadcasters were crying out for, was live sport. So the Championship League format was a beautiful thing to sort of bring into play. We've always wanted to look at Championship League Pool. It's always been in the back of our mind because the format works so well in snooker, but it seems like it's an opportune moment to introduce it.
And it's do you see doing more than one in pool in a year?
I think we'll start off with something annual, and then we've got a sixth event in the calendar. Look at it every year, but then we've also looking. We've got new ideas of a seventh event or a seventh series of events as well. So,
okay,
slowly but surely.
Thank you.
I'm going to go to Nate at Cue It Up.
Perfect. You able to hear me?
Yep.
Perfect. I have a question for Chris to start out with. Chris, 4 months ago, you played in your very first Matchroom event, and you had a full, support staff around you with JJ and Joey Ryan, as well as all of your teammates, and they really helped to prepare you for your first ever Matchroom event. How have you prepared for this one differently, not having that support cast around you to be able to prepare you for the actual tournament?
I don't know. I mean, Jeremy, I just moved to Texas and Jeremy's about 10 minutes away from me now. So we've worked together a few times in the past few weeks, and really it's just him reconfirming to me the same things that he makes me do in practice. And I'm practicing a lot, and I, you know, from the past few months, I probably played a total of maybe 15, 20 hours of pool. But then the past 2 weeks, I played probably 70 or 80 hours total. So I'm feeling like I'm playing awesome and I'm playing the best I have. So we'll see what happens, but I don't think I mean, it helps to have him there, but I think I can get by with some, you know, just some, you know, texting them or calling them and kind of just again, just reconfirming what we've already worked on.
Gotcha. And then I have one more question for Niels as well. You had kind of mentioned during the Emily interview with you that you haven't been playing. And is that, have you not been playing because you kind of lack the motivation maybe just to practice? You're a little bit later on in your career and you don't maybe have that burning desire to play the game at all costs, and you kind of need those big events to get you motivated to play?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, it's no lie that I've been on the tour for over 20 years, so I don't have that burning desire to go out and play 6-8 hours a day like when I was 20, like Joshua's age, 21. You know, I did the same thing. That's all you do. You stand up, go to the gym, the pool room, watch matches. It's full time. But now I also have kids. I have other stuff. I have the YouTube channel, just different things. So I think a lot of it had to do also with motivation. There was nothing, there was no light at the tunnel. Like, when are we going to get events? So I just figured, okay, I'm just going to hammer videos for the YouTube channel. And when I get a word or a sign of a calendar, which came out pretty quick, then, you know, you get a spark. I was missing a spark. And I think a lot of players that are listening to this felt the same thing. It's natural. And I think what I need for my game right now is that boost, like, oh, we have an event, and then you go practice. You get in stroke pretty quick, and the arsenal is pretty much already there. It's a matter of fine-tuning a lot, putting in the hours. It's going to be long days. I'm just really looking forward to it. And, yeah, slowly but surely, like Emily said, we're getting back on an upward motion of events, hopefully coming up. Is that a good answer?
Terrible.
Yeah. Perfect.
I'm going to go to Keith Paradise next from Billiards Digest. Hi, Keith.
Hi, Emily. How are you?
All good, thank you. You okay?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm glad to see you guys as well. I'm glad to see we're going to have an event.
Oh, yes.
Question about this event overall. Obviously, we're still looking at restrictions because of COVID, both in the United States and in Europe. What protocols were established that you guys kind of have to go through to get these players imported in for the event? Secondly, was running the Moscone Cup kind of a trial run for doing this event in terms of handling those protocols for COVID?
Enough protocols to make you want to quit. But it's kind of second nature to us now. I think I said it quite a few times. We launched Championship League snooker in June 2020, which was the first live sport in the UK following the pandemic. So for us, that was our trial run of anything. So when we got to the Moscone Cup, not that we felt relaxed, but we felt very confident in all of the protocols. Don't get me wrong, and no offense to Josh, Chris and Niels, but all of the snooker players are very much used to our protocols, whereas pool players are not used to it. You know, the sort of things that you have to do where back in June, you actually had to isolate for 24 hours until you got your test results. For any single person, like here in the team, we all went through that in our hotel room for 24 hours, not being allowed to leave. And we were talking about it the other day, the amount you couldn't order in any food or anything like that. It's all changed since then. But it's knowing that you have to isolate. You're not allowed to leave your room until your test results come in. So just to go through it, obviously, every international player on arriving into the UK have to present a negative COVID test within 72 hours of flying. Every player gets awaited by a private transfer via Matchroom to come straight to the venue. And then on arrival at the venue, they must get tested again, isolate in their rooms, receive another negative test in order to play the tournament. That's quite a lot of stress and anxiety to add to any athlete. But like I said, a lot of our snooker competitors are kind of used to it, whereas we feel a little bit on edge coming into a pool event because we have to remind everyone of those protocols. But it takes a lot of costs. It was difficult to try and launch the event. And obviously, I've said it before, hats off to Predator for helping us actually get it over the line, because the amount that we've had to, we have to invest into it because of all of these protocols, it's extortionate sort of thing. But we've got 192 matches live on TV for 8 days. And I think that's obviously the key thing for us. We've never done an 8 day event of, you know, live pool before. And there's, we're going to actually be, our matchroom team are going to be there for 8 days, then a following 4 days for our Championship League snooker event. So we're going to be there kind of 2 weeks on site, not leaving the event. These are all the stuff that we're kind of used to. So the pool events are cut. The Moscone wasn't really a trial for us. We've learned a lot of things, and we've developed and improved a lot of things. But now we're kind of looking to the World Pool Championship, the US Open, the Moscone Cup, how we can get fans in. I mean, boy, behind closed doors, easy. But as soon as we start letting fans back in, that's going to be a whole new level that we're just not used to. We haven't done it for a year. So a lot of work, not going to lie, but it's what keeps us young, and it's a good challenge.
Okay, that's all I had. Thank you, Emily.
All right. Scott Ryan.
Hello, Emily. How are you?
Oh, hello. I'm good. You okay?
Yeah, very good. I have two questions, actually. So the first one's actually to you. Obviously, we've suffered withdrawal symptoms with the Moscone being the last real massive pool event that we've seen on TV in the UK in particular. So a massive kudos to the team for getting this on, because for those not familiar with Championship League snooker, last year in the UK, it was an absolute godsend during the pandemic. And also we got to see players that we wouldn't perhaps normally see at events, which was again a massive thrill. We saw the birth of some real superstars there. So massive kudos for putting the event on. Group one, what a group of death, and what an unbelievable lineup you have there. I've got a question actually for Chris. Does this represent an opportunity for redemption for some of the American players based on kind of what happened in the Moscone Cup?
I think that, every time I go out and play someone, I want to win and there's a point to prove. But especially now that, I'm part of the Moscone Cup team, or was last year, I really do think that, everyone that was on that team, I'm going to do my best to win. But, we got to prove that we're not going to just die and go away. We're going to come back.
Over the past year.
Do you see the event, do you see the match room getting you guys to travel? Do you see that as being a bit of a difference for the US Moscone team? Because if some people did have some criticism of the US team, it was that you guys don't tend to travel for events, whereas the European players will just pick up and travel anywhere to play in an event.
Is this question for me again?
Yeah, for you, Chris. Sorry, mate. I'm not picking on you deliberately.
No other American
sitting here. I mean, I travel everywhere in the U.S. I've driven cross country for a tournament before, so I'm literally willing to do whatever it takes to get better. So it's all in good, all good, and I can't wait to go overseas again.
Fantastic. That's all from me, but just really looking forward to the event, and thank you to Matchroom and Predator for getting this on.
Thanks.
Sure.
I'm going to head to Nate to queue it up again.
All right. I have a question for Kareem. Take us through Predator's, kind of more global view of the game. I know that you have the Puerto Rican Open that is coming up at the end of, it's the end of this, or sorry, the end of May, I believe, right? Or end of April. with trying to get into the events game, as well as, you know, still doing your normal stuff and adding out, you know, Arcos 2, as well as the Arcadia Cloth that you just launched very recently, what is Predator's vision for the game going forward with, not only with Matchroom, but for the game from your guys' vision as well?
It's a good question. Well, thanks for asking the question, that question. I see, you know, I started playing pool before I got into the business of pool, of billiards. And I played many hours every day. Even though you watch me play, you may create more, how do you spend those hours? Because you can't tell looking at your stroke, but that's what we design on manufacture better cues. So it helps my game. I saw the smirk, Niels.
Yeah. And,
but the vision is very simple. I think it's a great game that can help kids. I'd rather have my kids play pool than being in front of their tablet. And as a result, when you look at people that were confined and isolated over the past year, we're able to build bridges between their friends or connect them to their passion, which is the game. So a lot of people saw the game boom, a lot of our customers grow over the past year. Where people wanted to play safely and entertain the family, play with their grandkids inside their home. And I think there's something to say about kids taking a break from screens and playing pool again together, a different way to connect with socially with others, work on your mind, like the yoga, a physical kind of yoga exercise, connecting the mind and the body, and thinking about strategy, several shots ahead. I've played with that concept with my kids. It worked out great. And you mentioned some of the events we sponsor. We sponsor a lot of events around the world, whether it's with balls, cloth, cues. And we're really pushing to grow a strong pro tour. And I think with Matchroom's help and our other partners around the world, it's very, 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 very feasible. Again, pool grew quite a bit in the US over the past year. It's been booming in China over the past 16 months, and there's a lot of potential. And what I'm after right now, and I'm thankful for the pros to trust Matchroom, trust us, travel to London and play. And just to remind everybody, is we're here because of the fans. If they're not there, we wouldn't be here. I mean, they want to watch you guys play. They're craving for it. I mean, we spend a lot of time with Predator fans and they want to see more tournaments. So when Emily and I discussed brainstorm a year ago, or even 9 months ago, hey, Karim, what do you think about doing something together? I said, yeah, sure. So do something new on fast. I should say, I'll have the perfect event for you guys and for us. And I know it's a little risky because of the environment. I said, you know what? Let's put aside risk. We need a great event, whatever it takes. We'll help, we'll support it to the extent that we can. I hope I answered your question, Nate.
Yeah. And then I have one last question.
You know, I'm passionate, sorry about the long answer. You know, I'm passionate about the game and I keep on hiding my Fargo rating though,
you and every other player.
We'll just cut half of it down, Karim, when we post it out.
Thank you.
Did you have another question, Nate?
Yeah, I have one last question for Josh. He's looking lonely over here. Nobody's asking him any questions.
That's good. I like it.
I think the quote of this so far has been yours with as close to quotable as I can. There's no reason to understand a format if you never lose, and I think that's a really really interesting one. But let's dive a little bit more into that. You're very young still. You're one of the obviously the best young players in the game, as well as just the best players in the game in general. You're hard pressed to find a list of the top 3 to 5 players that you're not on. What would an event like this, winning the very first one in history, what would that look like on the resume that you've built so far in your game?
Well, it's hard to say because my goal is to win in every tournament or coming so far as I can. I mean, my goal is always, I mean, as I said, to win a tournament. It doesn't matter which one. I'm going to be proud of myself for looking back. I don't know. I would just try to play my best. That's actually the biggest goal of my life, that I can climb higher and higher on my game, getting better and better. I think nobody can be perfect in the game, but you just can practice so hard that it can be nearly perfect, I guess. And if somebody can reach it, that would be great for the game, for the fans, whatever. I will try everything to do that.
Perfect. Thanks, Josh. And thanks for Emily, and thanks to Matchroom for putting this event on for us fans. And thanks for Predator for allowing it to happen. So thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Nate. So I'm just going to head to Joey Ryan from Pool Player Podcast.
Thanks, Emily, and really excited for this event. It's super exciting over here in the U.S. I have a question for Niels, kind of leading up to this. If I understand the format correctly, you're going to have a lot of pool to play on day one. Six matches in a pressure-packed arena, races to five, really tough. What have you been doing to prepare for that type of pressure in this type of event?
Well, the first thing I had to do was get back a stroke. Like I said, I didn't play much in February, maybe a few hours in the entire February. Then I got the invite. So I was actually on a weekend trip. I came back home. I jumped on the table right away. I started out playing some one pocket. I have a nice young man here close by, Mickey Krause. He's been coming over. So we've been sparring around. I thought one pocket was good to get like nice back in touch. You don't have to make balls all the time, so you don't get frustrated if you miss every other shot after a little layoff. Then switch to rotation, been playing a week of rotation, Filipino rotation, you know, get the execution up. And now we're switching to nine ball, you know, putting the hours in, break training, more shot making. I was working online today with Alex Laley, Moscone captain. We're going to do another session on Thursday. So I'm just doing whatever I can. I'll probably put in another hour when we're done here. Get used to the evening schedule, you know, normally with the kids when it's evening time you're like 8 o'clock, you're like, ooh. But now I gotta put some night sessions in. But the pressure, that's of course different. I mean, nobody can prepare really for that feeling again when you're getting ready for your first match. That takes just a couple of matches. That's just how it is. You have to get ready. You have to get used to the table, the lighting, the temperature in the building, sounds. And then the more matches you play, the more on autopilot you will get. And that's, I believe, for every player. So that's just something we have to go through as pros, get back in that competitive stroke, and then we can go from there.
Thank you. Quick question for Chris Robinson. Hey, Chris, how you doing, man?
Hey, Joey, what's up?
Not much. So you guys are all three on day one. Is that in your mind an advantage or disadvantage, and why?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question? I couldn't.
Yeah, being with the format being selected for day one, do you view that as an advantage or disadvantage, and why? Can you guys hear me okay?
Chris is on mute.
Yeah, I think Chris is, Chris, you're on mute.
And you're sideways.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, what about now? It's better? Okay. Can you repeat the question, please?
Sure. Yeah, with you guys all being selected for day one, do you find that's an advantage or disadvantage in this format, and why?
I think it's an advantage because we get to play the whole day, obviously. And, you know, it's, you're not going to play one match and sit for a day and then play another match. You get to get out there and, you know, get it all done in one day. And hopefully not, but, you know, if you do, you do. You know, I'd like to make it to the second day, and that's what I'm planning on, so we'll see.
Yeah, and Emily, for you, with everything leading up to this event and the patches and all that, I mean, it's...
Don't like, start, Jeremy.
I'm not, no, but I'm actually going a different direction, which is, like, people are losing sight of the fact that this is an amazing event, right? You guys are bringing a new event to us, and, you know, everybody's really excited about that part of it. So tell us, what are you most looking forward to about this event?
Just getting out of the office. We've been here for a month now without an event in place. So, you know, we live off of live events. So for us, being in the office is very bizarre. But, you know, we don't shy away from the fact that everyone's kind of talking about various things that have been going on. But also, there's nothing happening. So if something small happens, you know, I could probably get married tomorrow or something, and, you know, people might talk about it. There's nothing happening for it. So anything's going to be a story, anything's going to be big. But also that's a key part to remember. Amongst a global pandemic, and when, you know, live sport is really struggling, we've just announced a 2021 calendar. There wasn't any sort of live professional pool in 20, you know, from as soon as the March events finished last year in 2020, a year ago, up until the Moscone. We've come to a point now here where we're still very uncertain, but we go ahead and launch a 2021 calendar because that's what we do. That's what we do very well. And we want live sport on the TV. And we also are very committed to Paul. It's a huge passion of every single person in this team. At the end of the day, you know, things have to financially make sense to us. But I got asked an interesting question last week on a podcast here in the UK, where they said it's quite funny getting asked those questions from someone outside of the industry. They said, you know, you seem to be very big in nine ball pool in America. Is that something you saw it doing well and you just kind of it took off, or do you guys love it? Whereas actually we all just have such a huge passion for our pool events. We get excited about going to an event, but when it's a pool event, the atmosphere here in the office is totally different. This is why we're looking at Matchroom Pool World Rankings. It's why we're now sort of launching Matchroom Pool Series. We're looking at new things. We've just looked at Championship League Pool. We've got new things in the pipeline with the World Pool Championship. And the one thing that I love is that Karim and I are on a totally same sort of wavelength on certain things, on being creative, and the brainstorms that we have between Matchroom and the Predator team are very exciting and can last for hours that I think we dip in and out of. But it's great to be working with people that are passionate. And, you know, yeah, there's all this sort of stuff that's sort of been going back and forth. But I think the most important thing and key thing to remember here is that nothing's happening right now, but we're committed to the sport. Things might be changing. We might have to make small date changes here and there, but we're committed to Championship League Pool. It's going ahead March 22nd, World Pool Masters, World Cup of Pool, World Pool Championship. So we're excited, but just sitting here thinking, gosh, we have to be there on Saturday, and thinking about everything that's sort of that we're getting together. It's just, you know, chatting with the broadcasters, making sure that we're marketing that out well, making sure everyone knows where to tune into. So we're back and we're ready to go. It's our first pool event of the year. We've got a great calendar looking ahead. So we're excited to see the players. We're excited to see who tunes in. When we launched Championship League Snooker in June last year, we were hitting like a million viewers on ITV Sport. We're live on Free Sports here in the UK and on Matchroom Live as well. And we're really, really interested to see what viewing figures we get. We think we're very confident that everyone's going to be tuning in. Everyone's been craving some pool, and that's what we're going to give you.
Cool. That's all for me. Yeah.
Can I jump in quickly? One thing that was really cool when Emily approached us with the concept is relating to a comment that Niels made earlier, is our responsibility. Also, because we're here because of our customers and our fans, right? Our responsibility remains to bring innovation and inspiration to players around the world and fans who watch the game. So when I hear Neil saying, "Hey, that's you need to get that sparks back, and you need to schedule in your calendar an awesome event to get that spark to go practice again," and that's the vision that Emil and I had with this event. And with everything that we're looking at developing together over the next few months and potentially a few years. And it's awesome. I like watching Joshua or Chris, Deathstroke and zoning out. It's so much fun. I need to watch my favorite players play. And all of you guys are in my favorite there. So if we can help with that spark, great. And Emily, keep up the great work and everybody at Matchroom.
That's not what he said last week. He says you weren't his favorite players, just so you know.
I'm glad I'm on the list.
Look, thank you for everyone for joining in. Obviously, players, Karim, and all of you guys as well, Joey, Mike, Keith, Scott, and Nate. It's great for you guys to jump on board and to be sort of talking through these things. And I think this just gets everyone super excited heading up to the event. We're live on the 22nd of March. We're here live, Free Sports in the UK, as well as Matchroom Live, DAZN in the States for everyone sort of tuning in there, Zeebo TV, China. And if you're ever unsure, our website is with the format, where to watch. Everyone's gonna be tuning in. This group one is gonna be absolutely filthy lineup. This first match is just going to be great. And then just to run through, we've got touch base on group one and two. Group three, we've got Billy Thorpe, Darren Appleton coming in. Group four, Christina Tatch, Naoki Oi. Group five, Mark Bisterbotch, Roberto Gomez. Group six, Casper, Alex Kazakis. And group seven, Dennis Grabe and Jasmine Alshan. And then we've got our winners group. So we've got 8 days of live pool coming up on Monday. So thanks to everyone. And we'll see you all soon.